And we're joined in the studio now by musician and artist Marlon Ladine. He is giving a presentation tomorrow night at North House at 7 o'clock. During last winter, the winter before, he went on a week-long bike ride on the ice of the Apostle Islands and captured some sound. And he's here to tell us more about it and to tell us about his presentation tomorrow. Hi, Marlon.
Hi.
Thanks for being here this evening and for braving the weather to get here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about what you do. I understand that you're going to be making a multimedia presentation tomorrow night. What does that all include?
The presentation includes photography from the bike trip that I did, and then the sounds that I recorded during that trip, which are sounds of the ice shifting around.
Mm-hmm. So you were a photographer for as well as a musician?
Musician first and then photographer.
Okay.
On the side.
Now, I understand that one of the reasons you did this is to preserve the sounds of the lake. Can you tell us more about that, about your goal in doing this?
Yeah. So a local high school student came up with this report that actually ended up in our local newspaper, and it was about how the ice cover on Lake Superior is on the decline on average. And I actually did this bike trip in 2010. These last few years, there hasn't been enough ice to go out and do it again, really. I was planning on doing some sort of winter bike trip, and I was doing a lot of winter camping at the time. And then I read this article, and I've always been in the sound and field recording and things. And so I guess it just kind of made sense to go on this bike trip on the ice and then to bring along this hydrophone, underwater microphone, and an ice auger and record these sounds, because after reading that report, it kind of just seemed that if the ice is going to disappear, then so are the sounds of the ice, and so it should be archived. Great. And so that was the goal.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And unfortunately probably happening.
Yeah.
That it's disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I should mention that you're from Washburn, Wisconsin, so the big lake is part of your everyday life.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. You mentioned field recording. When did you start doing that? How did you get into that?
I started field recording, which is just, you know, basically recording any type of sounds. It could even be music, anywhere. And I started doing that probably 5 years ago. And I've always wanted to do it, but I started doing it about 5 years ago because I got sick of sitting in a studio inside recording music. And, you know, like usually a music studio is often like windowless and dark and mm-hmm. things like that. So it was like, how can I get outside and combine my love of nature with recording, making music? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what kinds of sounds did you start out recording? Did you start right away with ice?
No, I started with, you know, waves, waterfalls, lots of water sounds. And then I got into recording, you know, cars and people sounds and bringing the recorder into coffee shops and the ambient sounds. And I, with really no ideas of what I was going to do with this stuff, I just had it, you know, archived for whatever reasons. And then I started combining these sounds into sort of sound collages for mm-hmm. my own enjoyment. And then I came across that article, that mm-hmm. that study that student did.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So it's sort of the audio equivalent of taking a picture.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of people in the world doing field recordings of dialects.
Yes.
And animal sounds. Many, many sounds that are sort of considered endangered are currently being archived by lots of people.
I think, Buck, you might remember, we had somebody from that Dictionary of American Regional English on last year talking about their dictionary, and they also had a website you could go to and listen to various people talking in these certain dialects. You remember that?
I remember the topic, but I don't believe I ever went there.
Okay. Well, speaking of sounds, now you brought a CD of various ice sounds, water sounds, music, and so forth. And I believe we have queued up some ice sounds. You want to just explain what this is going to sound like here?
Yeah. So the first track is actually one I recorded this season. And it's I was walking along the beach, and there was just ice along the shore, and I heard like this breathing sound. And so, you know, I investigated the sound, and it was this ice was honeycombed, and the waves were like pushing against it and forcing air up through these small holes in the ice. And so it created this breathing sound. But it was a pretty rough day, so I could only get about 30 seconds of recording before a big wave came along.
Okay. So let's listen to that. Wow, that's great. You can definitely hear the breathing sound in there.
That's very cool. I think I have to go to the bathroom.
You stay right there. You're engineering the show.
Plenty more water sounds is coming.
So now where was your microphone for that one?
For that one, the microphone was sitting just out of, I didn't use the hydrophone. I just had a regular microphone just like an inch above where these little holes were that the water was pushing the air through. Mm-hmm. So
now you mentioned that you're a musician. What do you play?
I play a lot of instruments. Mainly, I suppose, the bass guitar and acoustic guitar and lots of other instruments.
Okay. And how do you combine these sounds with your music?
It's a difficult thing to do. It's usually just I'll play a song over the... either like in the situation with the sounds actually happening and record it all at once, or I will record the two things separate and then combine them with some editing program and try to make it sound somewhat natural. It's quite difficult, and sometimes the result can be cheesy or just strange. It just doesn't make sense sometimes.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So you mentioned... that sometimes you play music while you're in the area where you're actually recording ambient sound or, you know, field recording. So I assume that you have to bring something rather portable.
Yep. It's a very small recorder, probably 4 inches wide and maybe 8 inches long. And it runs on a battery and it has the microphones built into it. Mm-hmm. It's very lightweight.
And your instrument has to be portable as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't... I'm not too concerned about that. I'd carry any instrument into the woods if it was the right instrument for the application. So
that's great. Now, I think we also have a song on the CD that was at track one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But could we hear track one, and can you explain what this is, Marlon, first?
Track one.
One.
Mm-hmm. Track one is called Home Again, and that's one where I recorded the sound and then recorded the song later and then combined the two into one piece, because I had tried doing them together at the same time, but sometimes it's windy and there can be issues with the wind making the microphone sound all funny, so sometimes I end up doing them separate, like I did on this track.
Marlon Ledeen. Lovely.
Thanks.
That's great. If you just joined us, we're speaking with musician and artist Marlon Ledeen. He obviously composes music and records sound out in nature. He's speaking tomorrow night at North House at 7 o'clock about one of his recent projects, biking around the Apostle Islands. Well, tell us about that. How long were you there? What was it like?
I was, so that trip, like I said, was in the winter of 2010 when there was a decent amount of ice. I spent a week camping on the ice amongst the Apostle Islands on Lake Superior. So I didn't camp on the islands. I made it a point to sleep on the ice in my tent and get the full experience. And it took me an entire day to bike to this location where I decided to set up my tent and a sort of base camp, and then I would travel out during the day with less gear and things like that, so it'd be easier to move around.
Have you biked on ice a lot before?
Yeah. I spent a couple of years preparing for the trip.
Huh.
And winter camping is pretty gear intensive.
Yes.
So it took a while just to be able to buy a lot of the stuff, but you know, I didn't have to spend a fortune to do it. So,
do you have the wide, like 6-8-inch tires and the whole boat? And
yeah, I got one of those bikes,
Pugsley or something like that.
Yeah, Surly Pugsley. Okay. And but it was, you know, when I got that bike, people were like, "Why would you want to ride one of those?" And now. But now you see them everywhere. It's caught on. It's quite interesting.
And on low snow years, it's a great way to get exercise
yeah.
on trails without your skis.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I've since learned that it's not always the best vehicle to take out through the snow and on the ice. You know, it's fun and it's efficient when the conditions are right. But I've gone out a few times since then where, you know, an hour into my trip, I'm thinking skis would have been a better idea. Or even walking.
Yeah,
so.
I bet. So you were out there, you said you set up a base camp and then went out each day.
Yep.
Where did you go? How did you choose where to go and what to listen to?
My range was determined by the ice and the ice conditions. And it wasn't the kind of season I had hoped for, but it was still pretty good. So basically, I just got up and looked at the map and I had printed out a satellite image of the ice of the Apostle Islands, so I had a pretty good idea of where the ice started and ended. And then there was quite a few ice fishermen out, pretty far out, and they knew a lot about the conditions. And so I visited them, and they'd be like, "Oh, you know, don't go over that way, go over this way." And they'd say the ice is 12 inches thick, and then I'd look in their fishing hole, and I could see it was only about 6 or something. They're always optimistic that it was going to get better. And I just biked until I heard a sound, or I'd look for an interesting feature, like a cave with ice on it or a pressure crack. And sometimes it would just be by chance. You know, I'd stop to have lunch and some sound would be happening right underneath me. And the first night was the best night, is when I got these recordings of what some people call the lake drums or the ice drums. And I don't know exactly what causes a lot of these sounds, but my assumption is that it's just the contraction and expansion of the ice when it gets hot and cold. And at the end of February, we're having warm days and cold nights, and so there was a lot of that going on. And there was one night in particular, it was very, very, very loud. The cracking and booming and all sorts, and I didn't sleep very well, but it was worth it.
And I know we've got a track of that we can listen to in a minute or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask, I know, how much tape did you collect over a week?
I've probably got not a whole lot, maybe 8 hours of audio at the most.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, but it was a learning experience, you know, too. So I would think, the microphone's under the ice, so I can do whatever I want while it's recording. And then I got home and I listened back to the recording, and you could hear footsteps and me whistling and banging pots. And, you know, so ice and water, they carry sound very well. And so a lot of the recordings, unfortunately, weren't that good because there's weird sounds. And then one of them, there's a dog barking. You know, I couldn't hear the dog above the ice, but I picked up the sound of this dog below.
Interesting. Yeah, well,
that... So the dog was under the ice.
Help me.
They can bark anywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Glad he wasn't growling.
but that does raise a question, Marlon, is how different were the sounds? Like, let's say, I assume that you did things like record the same place or feature both above the ice and under the water. And how different were those?
They're very different. The recordings I have on the CD are mostly below the ice. Mm-hmm. Because when you were below the ice, it just sounded, with the microphone, it sounds unique because you never hear it like that. And it's just more full. You get more of the low end, the bassiness, and the clicking and crackling and things like that.
Wow, okay.
And the other thing, too, is when you're above the ice with the microphone, there's a lot of wind. And so you just get this, like, you know, sound the whole time. And it's very frustrating to listen to.
Okay. So. Well, let's listen to that. I think it's track 11, Buck, and we'll listen to part of it. It's quite long. Should we howl maybe the first minute?
Yeah, first minute.
Okay. And what? Tell us what this is.
This is the sounds from the first night I was out. And as soon as the sun set, it just started making these incredibly loud booming sounds. Yeah, the lake drums.
Thank you. That's great. So how long did that go on?
I went on the whole night from probably, you know, I guess six, maybe when the sunset to early, well, until the sun came up. It was hard to sleep that night.
I bet.
Yeah.
What a fun idea to capture this. Who do you hope is going to hear it?
I haven't really thought about that. I mean, I just whoever's interested, you know, and that's why I'm doing the presentations is... Just, you know, there's a lot of people who would probably find these sounds interesting, but most people aren't going to go waltz onto the ice and put their ear down to it and see what's going on. So
now you mentioned before we went on the air, I asked if you'd been to Grand Marais, and you said you usually come by boat.
Yeah.
And tell us about that. You're a sailor.
Yeah. I have a small 20-foot sailboat that I've lived on the last three seasons, and I've sailed it a lot. This last summer, I took most of the season off and went on a sailboat trip around parts of the lake up into Canada and stuff. I spent about 4 months on the water, starting in early April, ending in September. And I recorded more sounds and songs, and that's like the track with words that we heard earlier. Mm-hmm. That was one of the songs from that trip.
Nice. Where can people go to learn more about your work?
They can go to my website, smallboatvoyager.com. And there's lots of stuff to check out there.
Do you mind if we listen to a little more of that first 36-second blurb?
The breathing sound?
The breathing
sound. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Now, I could sleep all night long to that.
It's beautiful. Well, and to me, it reinforces the idea that I already have of the big lake as a living presence next to us.
Yeah.
That it's breathing.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Well, Marlon, anything else you want to add before we let you go? I know you're speaking tomorrow night at North House, and you're going to be showing photos and playing sound and telling people about what you do.
Yeah, I'll be doing that tomorrow. And then come about March or April, I have a new presentation I'm putting together. It's a little bit more, it combines the ice bike trip and then the sailboat trip I did this last summer into a new presentation that's going to be a little bit of live music, sounds, and narration, and photo, and a little video.
That's
great.
Stay
tuned for that.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your time this evening. It was great to have you here. And good luck in your very interesting work.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.